Robin McCarron.
Breaking news, the rating for Raw is likely to fall at 2.7 or 2.8. Sting versus Flair did a 5.4.
Jeff Hawkins.
This is a joke. I'm going to kick your butt once I get bail. I'm gonna come after you.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
There ain't no stopping us now. We celebrate on the floor. Top down, we're ready to go. To all the people across every nation, turn it up and give me some more. Balloon Guy!
You might think I lost all hope at that point. I did. And as a result, I perked up and felt much better. Jan Martell, Life of Pi. 200 episodes, kids! Shake them ropes. How we made it this far, I'll never know. Anywho, here's your host, for now, Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
Is there something I don't know?
Oh, I don't know. We've both been through life changes during the course of this show in some way or another, so who knows?
We have been. It's been 3 years, a little over 3 years in timeline-wise, but this is our 200th episode, so thanks everyone out there for joining us for this journey as it hits 200 episodes. We are catching up to the UFC.
Okay.
And the chemistry and the timing has never been better.
It was such a weird drop off from you. We're catching up to the UFC.
And scene.
Take it, Hawkins.
And scene. That is all I have. Everybody, good night. It is episode 200. We are coming off hot from this WWE SmackDown episode as we are on, I believe they call it, Jeff, the road to WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken.
They also call it the ultimate thrill
ride. The ultimate thrill ride, and yes. Now we have the ultimate face-punching extravaganza. There's a lot going on this episode, a lot to talk about.
I'm wondering how many faces will truly be punched, because I think all the matches will start with lockups.
Yeah, there might be some elbows. There might be some elbows going on. But we have a lot to talk about. WWE fired two talents this week, Jack Swagger and AJ Styles, so a lot to get into there. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for listening to Shake Them Ropes episode 200. Thanks, Jeff, for doing the show the last 3 years. We've stayed pretty consistent. I think we've missed 1 week the entire time that we've done it. So, of course, on this show, I announced that we're missing next week. Maybe. Next week, I am going on what the kids like to call a vacation, Jeff.
You know what that means.
I don't.
Jeff Hawkins solo show, baby.
Oh, boy. Well, hold on. Before everyone stops listening to the show, Jeff was just kidding. He's not going to do the solo show. Maybe you will.
You're right. It'll be me and Rich Craich.
Maybe something like that. Or, I mean, I guess I'll have Sunday. We can record something on Sunday, but I don't know really what's going to happen in WWE between now and Sunday. There's no TVs. So unless they completely surprise us with something, Kazuchika Okada is going to wrestle at TakeOver in Orlando, and they'll announce it tomorrow on NXT. If that happens, I guess we can record on Sunday. So we'll figure something out. But I'm going to be gone from Monday through the next Sunday. So I will not be around. The show will not be released on its regular scheduled time. It might be released early. We might have to do two the next week. And let's face it, we're going to have time to make it up, because this WrestleMania stuff, I mean, we got NXT TakeOver on Saturday, WrestleMania on Sunday, the Raw after on Monday. We're probably going to do more than one episode per week during that WrestleMania time. We might have three or four in the 2 weeks. I know it's going to be tough with you, Jeff, because you're going to Orlando. And yes. You called this possibly your last time going to a WrestleMania week.
I'm just too old for this. It's just, you know, actually, you know what? I'm really pondering going next year, because I've never been to New Orleans, and that seems like a fun time to go for WrestleMania, and then maybe that would be it. But it's one of those things where it's like, look, I like indie wrestling, I don't love it. I like WrestleMania, I don't love it. It's a lot of money to go to something that I don't really truly... I mean, I'm excited, but it's not... This is going to be life-changing excited. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Are you bit at all by the amount of events going on? Because I know ticket sales for some events are down just because there's just so much option now. What is it, 40 to 60 events going on the week of WrestleMania week between independent shows, between Access, Hall of Fame, all that good stuff. I mean, there's a lot going on. Are you worried going into this that there's too much? Do you have your tickets all planned out? Like, what is your WrestleMania week like, and what are your thought processes going into that week?
Actually, I've compounded it by adding theme parks to the equation. I have my tickets. I have, you know, WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown, and all of the Gabe events at the Orlando Arts Center. That's my itinerary for WrestleMania. Depending on, you know, what I feel like going to will dictate whether or not I make it to all the events, but I should be at all the events. And in between that, look, I'm taking a red eye and then heading to Universal immediately on that morning I land. And then the next day I'm doing the Magic Kingdom. And then that evening I'm doing Evolve. And then the next day it's Progress and Evolve. And I think another promotion somewhere in between there.
Yeah, you think there is. You don't know. I mean, you're not going to know until you're there.
No, well, it's funny because you're telling me about this and I have a stack of about 10 tickets here and I haven't actually looked at the times of all these things, but it looks like I'll be spending a lot of time at the Orlando Live Events Center.
It's probably good, yeah, that you're kind of staying towards one place for most of the day, because Orlando isn't the most easy town to get around.
And I'm staying on the other side of most of the events, so.
Not going to Ring of Honor, right?
No. That's a little bit too far out of the way. And I, you know, it was one of those things where I impulse bought all of the Gabe stuff on the first day, got a package, and then decided I'm sticking with this. And I'm happy with that. I mean, look, there's the Ring of Honor stuff last year in Dallas was great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's weird because most of the guys who are in Ring of Honor right now, I saw in Evolve this past year. So.
You saw them and they're out of the city center and they're only having one event. Maybe if they were having two, you could kind of stay towards Lakeland for a night and hang out at the two Ring of Honor shows, then visit Orlando for the rest of the WrestleMania stuff. But they're kind of they're in a league of their own and not necessarily a good way that week. But also, they didn't announce their prestige real main event until last week. And it fell into their lap because of the contract situation with the Hardys. The Hardys and the Young Bucks for the tag team titles is the main event of that show, the real main event of that show. You know, Christopher Daniels, spoiler alert, I mean, the show's aired, so I guess it's not a spoiler. Christopher Daniels won the Ring of Honor Championship, probably going to be the Ring of Honor Champion because I don't think there are any more shows until Lakeland. But, you know, you have the Hardy Boys going up against the Young Bucks in possibly the Hardys' last appearance in Ring of Honor, and that's for the tag team titles. So they didn't have a strong hype to their card going in. It's gotten a little stronger now with the Hardys and Young Bucks, but until that, it was Dalton Castle and Adam Cole, and you didn't know what would actually happen leading into that Ring of Honor show, because you had a lot of talk about Christopher Daniels winning the title, which he indeed had done. So it's they're kind of out of it, this wrestling. And who knows, the show might be good, but you're not going to get the audience of an Evolve or someone who's running with a broad scope of events closer to the WrestleMania area. You're just not.
The most interesting audience to me is going to be Friday afternoon, 12 p.m., Progress. I'm interested to see who actually makes that.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting weekend. Of course, that's a few weeks away. Someone who will not be going to WrestleMania, Jack Swagger, finally cut. 2 weeks of rumors, you know, 2 weeks of him coming out with statements. 2 weeks ago, Rusev basically gave him a farewell on Twitter, and now it's finally happened. WWE announcing that he is released. He's gone. A couple of days after he was scheduled to make his first post-WWE appearance in the UK, wrestling against Alberto El Patron. So that was kind of kiboshed. And then they just cut him. They cut him. And now we'll see if he shows up anywhere recently or if he shows up anywhere in 3 months from now. Any prospects on Jack Swagger on the independents? Is he going to be a Cody Rhodes? Is he going to be a Ryback? Is he going to be maybe someone like Paul Burchill who just kind of goes away and finds something else to do?
I could see him trying to go into an MMA camp. I could because of his wrestling background. I think there's a short-term shelf life of it. I don't know.
He's 35, man. I mean, it's kind of.
It's one of those things where I've never listened to Jack Swagger talk about professional wrestling as a great love versus a job necessarily. So I don't know if he's the guy that wants to hustle for his own bookings and lodgings and things of that nature. That's a grind when you've been in the WWE as long as he was. That's a real culture shock. Just from talking to guys and from listening to interviews of them, that's really the hardest part, is getting up the work ethic to say, okay, I need to book myself here and here this weekend, here this weekend. I need to get my hotel. I need to get my airplane tickets. I need to negotiate my cost, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the thing.
Yeah, you're not just told where to be. You're actually having to set your own schedule and where to be. And do you think that his last year in WWE, I mean, he's popped up on TV every once in a while, but it was really, I mean, it's kind of what Curt Hawkins is a lot right now, going back to WWE. You're just working the house shows. You're not getting any of the glamour side of it. You're going on the weekend loops and then hanging out backstage at TV, not doing anything. Does that help him going into the indies?
Yeah. No, it doesn't, because it's one of those things where also there's probably a bit of complacency there. I'm not being used. I really don't need to hustle. I don't need to sharpen my performance skills in any way. I just need to show up and probably have a 30-second squash against somebody. For me, there's money in a Jeff Cobb program. I would love to see him and Jeff Cobb either team or fight each other.
Yeah, but
and I'd love to see him in Reseda.
When you say program, though, you would love to see him in Reseda. He might show up in Reseda. I mean, Jack Swagger's the guy I could see in the PWG. What am I blanking? The Battle of Los Angeles. There we go. I think Jack Swagger screams to me kind of like in the middle of Cody Rhodes and a Ryback. He's going to go for the big money appearances, and he'll do the PWGs because he's good enough to do so. Like, he's not shabby in the ring at all. And he had long enough. I mean, this guy is a former world champion in WWE, for whatever that's worth. It's not like Ryback and Cody Rhodes were going on the indies and you could call them former WWE champions. You can call that with Jack Swagger.
He's a guy I could see in a TNA or a Lucha Underground very easily.
I don't see Lucha Underground. I could see TNA for sure. And I see them made inventing Slammiversary, ironically, with Alberto El Patron and Jack Swagger, two guys who would show up this year, you know, and them being the representatives of the anniversary of TNA Pro Wrestling and Impact Wrestling, because it's not TNA anymore, you know. It's not TNA.
That owl.
Yeah. God, the Rebby Hardy. Oh, those Hardys, man, they're staying in the news, and they have a lot of fans on their side as they fight. It's very interesting to see, too, because the Hardys going into that Ring of Honor match. The Hardy boys at the TV tapings after the Ring of Honor pay-per-view on Saturday at the TV tapings looked like the Hardy boys. They weren't wearing their broken getup. It looks like they're kind of easing up on the broken stuff because of some Impact Wrestling cease and desists here.
Intellectual property issues.
So you got the Hardys going on. For those who thought that the broken Matt Hardy gimmick might show up in WWE, didn't think it would, and now it certainly doesn't look like it's going to. They're going to go back as the Hardy Boys, if indeed they go back. I mean, a lot of talk out there that they're going back. I would expect to see them sooner than later, honestly. I expect to see them on the Raw afterwards. If I'm being honest, I expect to see the Hardy Boys on that April 3rd Raw, whenever it is, April 2nd. Right after WrestleMania, I expect to see them there. Jack Swagger released. AJ Styles storyline released. Although it looks like his WrestleMania match is set up. At the end of SmackDown tonight, Shane McMahon comes out, sets up the match. Everyone was partially dreading, partially, you know, anticipating. Everyone knew it was coming. AJ Styles, Shane McMahon, made official for WrestleMania. Don't know if Shane realizes that AJ was fired. He might have to rehire him to beat him up or to get beaten up. What did you think about the SmackDown closing angle before we talk about the rest of that show and Raw?
I think there was some good and some bad in it. It's a little over the top to have a camera inside the car when his head goes through the window, because that kind of takes you out of the entire suspend your disbelief thing for me. I think it'll probably end up being a non-sanctioned match since AJ Styles is quote-unquote fired. though that's probably how they get around. It'll be a street fight.
And then what? And then AJ goes to Raw the very next night and he's just a Raw guy?
You know what? This is the spot at WrestleMania where I could expect a quote-unquote Bullet Club reunion in some ways. And he hooks back up with Gallows and Anderson. Maybe he does show up at Raw. Yeah, sure.
That'd be some type of interesting tweak so you can go into. But if John Cena's leaving SmackDown for a while to film movies and TV shows and then AJ Styles leaves, SmackDown is kind of nothing. And then our prediction of Baron Corbin, or my prediction at least, of Baron Corbin getting a world title run on SmackDown this year seems certainly more likely because he'd be the only one left. He's the only one, unless they bring up Tino Sabatelli.
Shinsuke
Nakamura. That's another thing, too. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you are now in an era with a live Raw and a live SmackDown. Will they try to make the live SmackDown as similar as possible to that live Raw after WrestleMania, where just anything goes, you bring up a whole bunch of new talents all at once? This doubles the amount of people that might be called up from NXT, or in the case of the Hardys, you got the Hardys coming back on a Raw or SmackDown. You could have Shinsuke Nakamura coming up. You can have Asuka coming up. The one guy that I want to see up, if only for the fact that, you know, I think he fits better on the main roster, Bobby Roode, probably the least likely to actually come up. But you have a lot of room now. If you're going to make Raw and SmackDown as equal as possible, you can't just have the big live Raw after Mania. You got to have the SmackDown too. They could bring up a bunch of different people.
Yeah, but I could see them doing something like, you know, Raw gets these heavy hitters or these big surprises. SmackDown gets the, oh, that's a nice little surprise kind of thing, because they always want to protect the A show. They always want to protect it. They don't want it to overshadow. So I don't see, I mean, I think the surprise would probably be someone's come over from Raw. Wow. You know, and they'd say, well, see, he was a star on the A show, so now he's over here on SmackDown. You know, it would be parsed like that. I think your big surprises are still going to be on Raw. Oh my God.
The Andre Battle Royal winner, Mojo Rawley, is defected.
I could see a small chance that Asuka shows up on SmackDown, and that's the big surprise.
Oh, I think Asuka's showing up on that WrestleMania show.
Do you?
I think she's winning the women's championship.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking as well. But I don't know, because I still think there's a chance they bring back Naomi.
Naomi could be in the match too. And maybe Naomi wins. I don't know what they're going to do as far as a result of that match at WrestleMania, but I wouldn't be surprised if Asuka shows up and actually wins it. I wouldn't be surprised at all. It's just going into, I mean, this WrestleMania has so much stuff on it. I mean, there's 12 matches already announced. And the only ones out at this point kind of seem like the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. No American Alpha in this WrestleMania show yet. Goes to my theory that the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is going to basically be filled by the SmackDown Tag Division and Big Show and Braun. We don't have a ladder match of any kind yet. We don't have anything more than a Cruiserweight Championship. And we know that's not going to be the ladder match at this point. So maybe no ladder match. Will all the Cruiserweight guys be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal as a comedic kind of put on that match?
You know, I'm thinking them and the UK guys are going to be used to fill it. I think the tag team title match, I mean, and you'll have the rest of the SmackDown tag crew on there that aren't in the, I think they're going to have a Usos American Alpha one-on-one on the pre-show.
Okay, and they would probably put two or three matches on the pre-show, which is akin to last year. Maybe even four. I mean, there's 12 matches already. If you do...
It's a two-hour pre-show, I know. So I would assume possibly.
It's a two-hour pre-show. Okay. They did three last year. It was a disaster because two of the matches didn't have a crowd to watch it because of no one being able to get in that building. So maybe they do that again. I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff on this. It always seems so funny looking at this WrestleMania card the couple of weeks before it, because it's just so large. You're like, oh my God, what? I'm going to forget the first half of the show by the time the second half of the show starts. I'm not going to remember anything.
That happened to me.
Yeah. And you were there. It's probably even more so crazy for, you know, for someone being there. It's just unbelievable. One of the biggest matches. I want to talk about the Raw finale. We talked about the SmackDown finale a little bit. I mean, Shane McMahon, very simply coming out, making the match with AJ Styles. This is a match I have no idea what to expect in, and I'm just going to wait and let it see what happens. It's kind of like Undertaker and Shane last year. I didn't know what to expect. Hopefully they put some ridiculous storylines on it. Maybe they will. SmackDown, if AJ Styles wins, he gets to control SmackDown. I don't know. If he loses, he's still fired. I don't know. Because last year, Undertaker and Shane McMahon had a storyline which ended up resulting in nothing. Shane McMahon got power. Undertaker went away. Undertaker doesn't remember what brand he's on. He comes in and gives motivational speeches to SmackDown and then skips over to Raw. Like, what kind of Undertaker is that? You know, I'm going to be the leader of SmackDown and tell you all what to do. But guess what? I'm turning on all of you.
Well, maybe AJ gets the lockbox that we never found in that whole Shane Vince thing.
Yeah, the lock box. Maybe that was, maybe that's something. Maybe the contract of AJ Styles was in that lock box, and then AJ showed up anyway, and it's like, what are you doing? Roman Reigns and Undertaker. I want to talk about this Roman Reigns-Undertaker match. It seems like they're intent on everyone talking about how Roman is the underdog, but Roman doesn't believe he's the underdog, and he's going in this one a little strong. And you know, HBK kind of has to come out there and in a surprise appearance, tell Roman, hey, you know, don't be going in there too confident. Undertaker's getting in your head, man. You got to understand that. So Undertaker is in Roman's head. He's the underdog, but Roman clearly going in as the heel. And I'm glad at least they are portraying Roman as a little antagonistic. Like he's going in there, not caring what anyone says. He's not taking advice. He's going in there as the young brash punk who's going to beat up the Undertaker and retire him. I like that they're building up Roman for this match this way, because you're going to have the crowd booing him anyway. So you might as well not try to fight it for this one night. He'll be a huge mega babyface, at least pushed that way on the night after WrestleMania. But at least for this match going into WrestleMania, I think they're doing the best job they can with Roman Reigns going into it. And a Roman Reigns Undertaker match, not exactly the least anticipated match on the show. Like, I would go in thinking that's one of the bigger matches, and that's one of the matches I'm more excited to see. Any thoughts on this Raw with Undertaker not being on the show, but Shawn Michaels kind of carrying the role of building up the Roman Reigns match with Taker?
I liked the Shawn Michaels thing. I did. I liked the don't be cocky. Look, I fought him twice at WrestleMania.
And lost both times.
Yeah. But your logic is backwards in that the involvement of Braun Strowman makes him being pushed as a heel in this match difficult when they want him to be the babyface on Raw. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he'll be the babyface next week because you're going to have Braun Strowman coming out there. They're doing the Roman Braun rematch on Raw, so you got to give something for Braun to do. It's impossible for me to believe that they're going to have Braun lose twice in a row if he's indeed going to be a big push star in this Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. But it's the Battle Royal. I mean, Roman versus Undertaker is certainly a lot more important.
Right. No, I get that. And I think also for me, there's a logical progression here in that Sean talks to him, and then the next week, Hunter should talk to him. But of course, Hunter is involved with
Seth
Rollins.
He's busy.
Yeah.
Although, don't put it past Triple H to get involved in everyone's match.
Look, I'll take Triple H getting involved in everybody's angle, a la Dusty Rhodes circa 87, versus Stephanie McMahon getting involved in everybody's angle. I think they did a good job with Roman here. I think they did a good job with the Rollins Triple H segment. I think they're kind of sacrificing a bit of Joe's character development to build Triple H in some ways.
Speaking of, that's another guy. I mean, you have Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe who don't have anything for this WrestleMania. They're probably going to be in this Andre Memorial Battle Royal too. Maybe there will be a ton of guys in this match. But it's just the match of guys who we had nothing else for. And I can't get Samoa Joe, maybe it's just because he came in a little too late. He's brought up in kind of no man's land timing. But Sami Zayn, having been up for a year and been pretty consistent on pay-per-views, that surprises me that he has nothing else but the Giant Memorial Battle Royal to do. Like, not even an undercard match. I can understand a tag team match even on, like, the pre-show. But thrown together in a bunch of guys match, that's a little surprising to me. But yeah, I think the Roman Reigns build, just to kind of isolate it on the Roman Reigns build.
Okay.
To me, they're doing it the right way for WrestleMania. Will that be all thrown out next week when he's the babyface against Braun? Maybe. Maybe he's a little heelish on Braun. Maybe this guy uses weapons to beat up Braun Strowman and take out his aggression. Who knows?
Well, he's done that before. He's taken a chair to a heel before a couple times. So it's not outside of his character, but let's jump ahead a little bit. Is Roman Reigns getting this build to beat The Undertaker or to lose to him?
If I had to say right now, Roman's winning.
Okay.
Yeah, Roman's getting the win. And then you have Undertaker doing, what has it been, 4 years now where we thought Undertaker might be doing his last WrestleMania match. You give Roman Reigns the win, so Undertaker next year is like, if I don't win this one, I know it's a sign to go away. And then you have the Undertaker retirement match, or you just use it as a storyline, maybe Undertaker wins next year, but you use it as, this could be my last WrestleMania match, and then that builds up whatever happens at 34. Maybe it is John Cena, maybe it's Roman Reigns again, I don't know. I think if I had to put money on it right now, Roman Reigns is my favorite to win the match, because he's the guy. I mean, if Vince McMahon had been wanting to do Roman Reigns and Undertaker, it's not so he can just do the match and Roman loses. It's so that he can use Undertaker as a prop to elevate Roman as the highest level he can get. I'd put 80-20. I think it's 80-20.
Okay.
Maybe even 83-17. Do you like how I did the math super quick there? Because I didn't. It wasn't that quick.
Especially
boy.
On Pi Day.
Oh, it is. Well, it's not Pi Day. Well, it is Pi Day for 23 more minutes here. Due to the magic of time travel, it's about 2 hours and 23 minutes still for you. Because you're back in time. I'm talking back in time to you, Jeff. Anyway.
Gonna get back in time. Go ahead.
Save the singing for when we reflect on the 3 years of the show, because that's pretty much all I got. Is Jeff Hawkins singing on the show is the reflection.
Did you enjoy Miz and Maryse tonight?
I enjoy Miz and Maryse every night. Actually, I kind of do. I mean, I liked Miz and Maryse tonight. I thought they were perfectly cocky and well done at getting you to kind of hate them. I mean, if the idea is to hate them, it works. And Maryse
took it up to another level. Yeah. She had a gleam in her eye when she went into Old Baby Girl and just went into her promo. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. No, it was something. It was hard hitting. I think Nikki Bella comes off a little, and maybe it's just because it was happening right after Maryse.
No, she's wooden.
But Nikki Bella comes off so, I don't want to say pathetic, but poor to me when she's trying to be uber strong.
Yes.
Shooty
it
type.
It feels forced. It feels forced is what it is. And it's like, here's where I'm going to put on my aggressive voice. You know, that kind of thing. I see exactly what you're saying there. I want to bring up this follow-up question. This is the second year now where John Cena is not in a top match at WrestleMania. Does he need one next year?
Well, if it happens to be the Undertaker match, it's going to be the match next year. Does he need one? No. I mean, he doesn't absolutely need to be the... This is what everyone wanted, right? Is to get John Cena's, the focus on John Cena a little bit lowered going into these big shows. Now, granted, he's leaving the spot open for Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, which wasn't ideal and what everyone wanted. But John Cena not
AJ
being on the...
and AJ and Shane.
Hey, at least it's AJ, right? At least it's AJ.
Yeah.
That's not a problem right there. But John Cena not being the complete focus of the show is what everyone wanted. So why now if he's not in a match that's the focus of the show, but honestly will be one of the more entertaining matches probably. I want to see Maryse back in the ring. I want to see Miz and John Cena in the ring because they usually do pretty well with each other. I want to see if everyone thinks John Cena is going to propose to Nikki Bella in the most forced proposal of all time. If you want to see that proposal, you got that to look forward to. This is going to be one of those highlights of WrestleMania. When you look back at WrestleMania, it's like, oh, it was the John Cena Nikki Bella proposal, or it was the Miz and Maryse versus, you know, the couple battle. This is going to be one of the more memorable matches on the show, I believe. But as far as their performance
I thought
Miz and Maryse were great, and I thought John Cena just kind of being there was fine, and Nikki Bella, again, Nikki Bella and you know, male superstars have this. Miz has been this before, where Miz had to act tough, and it didn't come off quite right. I just didn't like the Nikki Bella stuff tonight. I just don't think it fits her very well. But as far as the match, I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Oh, I think the Carmella-Ellsworth ending was a dry run I do. I think it's going to be the same thing.
It could be. It could be. I mean, and who cares? You know.
No.
It's the middle of the card.
Match.
Yeah.
This is the crossover match for the reality TV viewers.
Yes, yeah. It is the crossover match, and they can perfect. I mean, they're going to have 13 or 14 matches on the show. You can have the crossover match. It's going to be okay. We have matches to look forward to on the show. It is the cross section for everyone, WrestleMania. It's not a super hardcore show. It's not a super niche show. It's not a super mainstream show all the time either. But it is a show that has a giant cross section of everyone. They want to have something for everyone. It's the largest performance variety show in wrestling history. It's just a big giant show. Anyway, speaking of a big giant show, Shake Them Ropes. It is episode 200, Jeff. And before we get to our next topic, I wanted to ask very nicely of our audience out here, because the audience has grown. I mean, we talk about three years. When we did our first show, we had 12 downloads. When we were just releasing
six
the
of
show.
Them were me.
Yes, so, yeah. Just making sure that you had it right, that you were talking into a microphone. We,
it was me, my mom.
Yeah,
I think it was.
We had 12 downloads on our first show, and we only released it on one small message board that was behind a paywall. So it was not a free show by any means. And what, 6 months later, we joined the Voices of Wrestling Network, and we get a little bit more traction. We get some of their audience checking us out, and some stayed, some didn't, and that's okay. And then the last year or so, we've grown quite a bit. We've picked up sponsors. We've gotten on several different platforms. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio I was excited about because I was a TuneIn Radio user. I used the app, so I was excited about that one. Potential news coming up on another distributor, which is a big one. I mean, heard on radio stations nationwide. So like there is stuff coming up that's exciting too, but I just want to thank all of you who have been with us from the beginning or tailed, you know, come in towards the tail end, you know, the last couple of weeks, even. I want to thank everyone out there, but I want to ask a favor.
Okay.
Jeff, we need to ask a favor of everyone out there listening.
Oh.
We are on iTunes. Now, I know not everyone listens to us on iTunes, and that's okay. But iTunes is the largest podcast platform in the world. If you're going to be a successful podcast, and if you are going to grow your audience in multitudes, you have to be on iTunes. And we are on iTunes. But in order to grow, one thing that has to happen is your listeners have to rate and review the show. And we have had people rate and review us for the last 3 years. We have ratings on there, some good, some really, really bad. Some hate me, some hate you. More hate me, it seems.
Woohoo!
Yes, so a less excited woohoo from Jeff on that one.
I don't like the haters.
Yes.
But, I'd give them a bad review if they'd let me.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, where's your territory? How's that going? Let me review that.
Oh, don't start hating on the people. That's the thing, though. The people who review our show poorly still listen. I mean, some of the bad reviews are hilarious because it's like, I've been listening for weeks and I just can't stand you guys. I can't wait to listen next week, though.
Yeah, the hate listeners.
They listen. Right? Hey, I'll take it. I mean, I'll take it. And if they want to hate listen but still order Blue Apron, that'd be great, too. But I want to appeal to everyone out there. If you are listening, no matter what the platform is, please, please, please take a moment. Go on to iTunes, whether it's on your computer, whether it's on your phone, whether it's anywhere. Search for Shake Them Ropes, or we have a URL that makes it really easy for you. It is bit.ly/str iTunes, or you can go to voicesofwrestling.com/str, and all the pages have our links in them. All the posts with our show have the links to iTunes in them. Go to iTunes, search Shake Them Ropes, and leave a rating and a review. That would be very helpful. Whatever the algorithm iTunes uses, it would not only allow us to know what you like about the show or what you don't like about the show so we can tweak it or make it more appealing to everybody. It would help us, but it would help iTunes listeners who may not know about us, help them check out the show. It would help them maybe find it if it goes up a couple of rankings in the top sports podcasts or top entertainment podcasts, whatever. However people end up finding us, it will help if you guys leave a rating and review. So I would urge you, if you haven't already, because I know we have like 45 reviews So people have taken the time, very, very thankful that they have taken the time to go review it. We just got one the other day. We got a very nice one talking about how they enjoy the show. And we hope that we are still, you know, providing some enjoyment for you, providing some entertainment for you. But if you haven't left a rating and review anywhere, please go to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. If you want to leave it on Stitcher, if you want to leave it on TuneIn, that's great too. If you want to go on Facebook and just tell your followers that, hey, there's this podcast I like, that would be awesome too. If you want to go on Twitter, you know, tag us at Shake Them Ropes, tell your friends about Shake Them Ropes. It would be awesome because I would love to have more people interacting with us. One of the biggest things in the last 3 years that I've really liked is the number of people who will tweet at you, Jeff, or tweet at me, or tweet at both of us, or not even tweet at us, but just tweet about us or tweet a conversation we started, you know, whether it be anything. Most likely it's Baron Corbin because we do talk about him a lot, mostly by me. Not so much Jeff. Jeff usually drowns out at that point. He goes away. He goes, he has his drink. He comes back. He realizes I'm still talking about Baron. He goes away again, comes back. When I finally ask him a question, he's like, thank God. But
look, let's cut to the chase here. You need to go on iTunes because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And we want to get ahead of like Johnny Goodtime and the Barricade Slappers or whatever podcast is on there. We want to be ahead of them in the algorithm and whatever search function they use for wrestling. So go there. Happy
yeah.
now?
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Thank you. But the biggest part, I wanted to finish by saying, once you leave your rating and review, and some people have done this too, is tweet it at us. Let us know that you left a rating and review. You can screen cap it if you want to. We'll retweet it. But we will give you a shout out on the show. We really appreciate everyone who's left a rating and review. If you go now on iTunes, leave a rating and review. We will shout you out on the show. Just help us help make this show better. We appreciate that. And we thank you for listening. And now we are going to talk about NXT. Because what? Jeff, yeah, it's quite the no. I'm gonna get back to the WWE stuff. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about the ending of that Raw. Believe me. But I was on the NXT ticket site today, and something kind of just jumped out at me a little bit. There are two NXT TV tapings scheduled for April at Full Sail University. One of them is sold out. The one happening right after WrestleMania. However, the April 19th TV taping at Full Sail University has not sold out yet. Tickets have been on sale for weeks. For the last 3 years, pretty much any NXT TV taping has sold out within 2 days of the tickets going on sale. April 19th has not sold out yet. There are still plenty of tickets yet for NXT at Full Sail University. Is NXT finally burning out Full Sail?
I wouldn't say that. I think it's just one of those things where because everybody's buying all these tickets for all these events around Orlando, that it's not a high priority. And it'll probably happen after people see what happens on these tapings the week after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If they're waiting for what happens, that's kind of a sign in itself, right? Because it used to be, oh, NXT TV taping, I have to get tickets now.
Yes. Well, the product overall is down. I mean, you're not going to deny that. I think a Tommy coming back lends a little bit more intrigue to it. But overall, I mean, it's not as well-rounded a product as it used to be. The angles aren't as good or as fun as they used to be. And there's a bit of a wait-and-see aspect to it, I think.
It definitely appears that there's more of a wait-and-see aspect now with this TV taping. Maybe Hideo Itami coming back will be a big kick. Cassius Ohno being there and being a regular. Seeing if the rumors end up happening and the Kyle O'Reillys show up or the Donovan Dijaks.
Once Aleister Black makes it on TV, you know, those types of guys.
And that's the thing, too, and maybe this is where we lose everybody, but I'm not one who's excited to see Aleister Black, former Tommy End. I know he has a following there, but I don't see the appeal, and that's not hope he has the best career ever. Hope he can entertain me, and I'll come in with an open mind because you never know who's going to going to just over deliver and do amazing things on WWE TV. The Miz was a castaway and look at him now. You know, look at him over the last 5 years. He's been excellent. So Aleister Black may be something, but I've never seen anything with Aleister Black that would tell me he's going to be the thing that makes me watch NXT TV.
See, it's interesting because I feel a little bit the same way about Kyle O'Reilly. I like O'Reilly as a wrestler. But as I've often said here, wrestling is the third or fourth thing that will get you over in the WWE.
Yeah, it is. So, it is. That's true.
And he's never been the most compelling promo in the world. So I'm a little trepidatious about Kyle O'Reilly.
Love Roderick Strong, and Roderick Strong's done nothing on NXT, and that's not entirely his fault by any means.
Correct.
Just kind of stating the obvious there. Rob likes Baron Corbin and Tino Sabatelli, but he doesn't like Tommy End. This guy is a Vince McMahon ass kisser. Why are we listening to this garbage?
Rob, you've mentioned a name here, and I think I feel something coming up.
Okay.
I feel it for episode 200.
What do you feel?
A very special.
Uh-oh.
Shake Them Ropes Theater.
What? What?
Baron Corbin goes to McDonald's.
Oh, God.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order? My order? Only peons take orders. I give orders. I will give you my order when I feel like having a cheeseburger of my choice. And when it is my choice, it will be my choice. Would you like fries with that? Fries with that? I haven't even given... I can't hold on to this. Baron Corbin continues this. I need to say the very last thing and go into it as if I do it.
You didn't finish. Like, the punchline was Dean Ambrose throwing the burger at him. Mr. Prop Comic Dean Ambrose. Pouring all the ketchup down his face.
You know what? It was an impromptu Shake Them Ropes Theater. Yeah. But he'd be working the drive through and he would have jumped into the vehicle probably.
Yeah, and it's an audio medium here. It's not visual. We can't actually have the prop comedy of Dean Ambrose in an audio setting, because it is hilarious, as everyone knows, right? Oof. Yeah.
No Dean this week though, so that was a good thing.
No Dean this week, but he and Baron Corbin are one of those 12 WrestleMania matches for the Intercontinental Championship, the championship of the Americas.
You can run a guy over with a forklift. You can burn a guy's house down and listen to his dead sister scream. But if you dare touch Shane McMahon, you're fired.
You're fired. I like that AJ Styles brought that up in his promo. And it's like, what is going on in this world that I've now joined for a year? When people can beat up family members, people can set fires, and I'm the one punished. I'm the one punished. The guy screwed out of the world championship. Twice. It's a crazy world we live in. Let's get to this Raw finale, because I know a lot of people were watching that intently. This is what happened to me on Monday night, Jeff. I did not watch the first hour of Raw. I was going to watch the first hour after the third hour because I got home late. So I missed the first hour. I just wanted to start it where it was. I didn't want to, watch from behind. I wanted to start it where it was. So I get to this finale of Monday Night Raw with Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon, Stephanie forcing Mick Foley to fire somebody. And immediately I'm like, well, what the hell could have happened in the first hour to where Mick Foley has to fire someone? So this promo at the end made zero sense to me. But then when Triple H comes out, we get to the gist of what we're all doing there. Triple H and Mick Foley go at it words for words. I mean, they're shooting from the broken hip. They are ripping each other apart. Mick Foley's bringing out the fire. Triple H looking really good. Triple H defending his wife. Triple H trying to be tough guy. Triple H, he doesn't have to contend with Seth Rollins anymore. So he's just free and clear to bash whoever he wants to do, or so he thought. It really picked up when Mick Foley got to talk there, but the whole time I'm thinking, what the hell could have happened in the first hour? And then I go back and watch the first hour, and I'm like, that was it? Mick Foley just had to show leadership, so Stephanie wanted him to fire someone, as if that is showing leadership, randomly firing people for no real reason. So it didn't really make sense, but when Triple H and Mick Foley got to talking, and then you had the Seth Rollins reveal that, yeah, he's going to be, he may not be fine right now, but he's going to be. That match is absolutely on. Oh, that's not even on the list. Seth Rollins and Triple H isn't even on the 12 match list. So there you go. That's already 13.
So they just made the list?
They just made the list. Tell you. Also, Chris Jericho should probably stop doing the list thing. It was fun. It was great. But for what he's doing with Kevin Owens, he should probably drop the list. That's my hot take. Anyway, back to this ending segment of Raw. I was confused by it. I went with it anyway, and by the time it was over, it was like, that was really good, and Triple H and Seth Rollins is one of the main events.
Yeah, I didn't need the episode long story for it though. I didn't.
That's what they do. That's all they do now.
It was fine. I mean, I liked the Mr. Sacco reveal. I thought that was really well done. I thought Seth looked remarkably adept on that knee. He was running on it, doing drop kicks, throwing drop kicks, diving. I mean, that...
Well, and also, if you're Seth Rollins and you cannot miss another WrestleMania when you are one of the biggest stars in that show and you know you missed last year and you can't miss another year, he may have been in absolute pain. He may have been all... I don't want to say pilled up, but he may have been on legal substances.
Shot. He may have had a numbing shot.
Legal painkillers to try and go out there and do everything he wanted to do. That very well could be happening. But if you're Seth Rollins, you want to go out there and show them that, hey, I'm ready to do this. Like, you may get doctors that tell you that I'm not ready, but look at me out there. I am ready to do this in 3 weeks if I can do all that right now. So he was going out there just throwing caution to the wind. He was going to get this angle done. He was going to be in there with Triple H so that Triple H could not say, you know what, Seth, you're not ready. Let's have our match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's just from the logic standpoint for me. It's like, oh, Mick can fire anybody. Well, why wouldn't he just fire someone that, you know, he doesn't want on the show or something like that just to screw Stephanie?
Like Samoa Joe, for example?
Yeah, well, yeah. Fire Samoa Joe, fire Braun Strowman, go, yeah, try your show now.
But then he would be doing what Stephanie wanted, and he didn't want Stephanie to win. He didn't feel the Samoa Joe earned the firing. I mean, after all, Samoa Joe did just beat Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn in a couple of weeks span. I mean, Samoa Joe would be an addition to the roster, right? So he's going out there and proving a point that, you know what, if you want me to randomly fire someone, I'm going to fire you, Steph. I know I can't do it, but that's not going to stop me. That way, at least no one else gets fired. But there you have it. Triple H beats up Mick Foley. So that probably appeases Stephanie, right? We're not going to get a storyline next week where Stephanie's like, you know what? You didn't finish the job I gave you. You still have to fire someone.
We might. He may be back and go, I hope you've learned your lesson this week, Mick, and now you'll do what I say.
Do what I say.
He'll pick himself to fire or something like that because he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Well, maybe that. And because after that ending to a Raw, how does Stephanie and Mick Foley just go back to being in the same office talking about the show? How do they just go back to being, you know, boss and employee or partners?
Well, it's funny because in story, it seems nobody talks to each other from week to week. They just show up on Mondays and discuss business.
That's how it goes. And telephones don't exist in the world.
You proved me wrong. You clowned me on that, Rob, so congrats.
Yes, you are welcome, I guess. You are welcome. But yeah, I was just totally confused by that segment, but it was still good. It was entertaining. You know, the Seth Rollins reveal at the end, you have Seth Rollins, Triple H going to be on this show. I don't doubt it anymore. I mean, something would have to catastrophically happen to make that match not take place. And that'll be an added singles match, which I'm glad there are some singles matches happening on the show because we got Neville and Austin Aries confirmed tonight. So Austin Aries and Neville for the Cruiserweight title, probably on the kickoff show, if you had to guess, right? I mean, on the kickoff show, the Raw tag team title match, Neville, Austin Aries, and if they do a SmackDown tag title match, probably that match too. That's what I would predict.
I think Neville, Austin Aries opens WrestleMania.
Oh, God, no. God, no. Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens to me is the opener. Keep it hot. Well, let's play this game. You have to pick three matches for the pre-show. I've picked mine, the two tag team title matches, Neville, Austin, Aries. What would you have?
SmackDown tag, SmackDown women's, and
SmackDown's been the A show, and you have to consider that SmackDown women's match might have some surprises worth it being on the main show,
right? And then
so you're still going with it then? You just say, ignoring what I say.
No, that doesn't matter because they had a surprise in the 10-woman tag on the pre-show and that didn't matter.
Did they?
Yeah.
Nikki Bella showing up at the end in her neck brace was a surprise? Come on. Yes. Lana wrestling wasn't a surprise. They announced that beforehand.
No, that part was fine.
You're running out of matches to predict. You're running out of matches to
bring. I'll go with Raw tag team titles as well. I'll say both tag team title matches and the SmackDown women's are on the pre-show.
They could end the pre-show too with the Battle Royal. I mean, if Braun's going to win, I mean, does that really have to be on the main show? Maybe. I don't know. That could open.
For Vince, yes.
Yeah? Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. We have announced entrants for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, by the way. Mojo Rawley was the first. We have Apollo Crews, Kurt Hawkins, Dolph Ziggler, and Big Show being in it. So about the guys you would expect. I mean, it's going to be a lot of the SmackDown tag team roster, possibly. It's going to be the Kurt Hawkins of the world. It's going to be the Jinder Mahals.
Cannon fodder and big guys.
That's it. That's it.
And I think you're going to have some of the UK kids in there. I think you're going to have maybe a couple NXT people. And and Heath Slater and Rhino, probably.
Heath Slater and Rhino. There you go. And some NXT people. NXT people would be interesting. They did debut Baron Corbin this way last year. I don't know who on the roster they would debut like that this year. We don't even know if Finn Balor is going to be on there. Finn Balor, you thinking WrestleMania or you thinking Raw after Surprise?
Raw after Surprise, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. NXT, I don't know who they would bring up. Maybe a Bobby Roode. But if you bring up Bobby Roode, he's got to win it. And I don't think anyone but Braun is winning this match. So, yeah, I don't know. They could bring
I think Bobby Roode would be a SmackDown guy.
I think it would be hilarious if they just have a Hideo Itami, whenever he's healthy, just come up and lose Battle Royals.
I could see them putting Ty Dillinger in this Battle Royal as well.
Yeah, his main roster gimmick could be just entrant in Battle Royal. So Royal Rumble match, WrestleMania. If they do those battle royals on SmackDown or Raw every once in a while, Ty Dillinger just randomly appears. They're like, oh, I heard there was a battle royal tonight. I'm here.
And you know what else? Also to get the audience 10'd out.
Yeah, why not? 10'd out. 10 them out. So they don't chant yes all night. So they don't chant for CM Punk all night. I don't think we get CM Punk chants at WrestleMania, honestly.
That's more of a TV thing. No.
I don't think you get them at WrestleMania.
Unless the match really starts to stink. In any way, in any match, then they could chant for him. But I couldn't see that.
Have you guys gone and given us an iTunes review yet? You can do it while you listen, by the way. You can do it while you listen. This show, as we've said, has been going on 3 years. There has been a lot that's happened in the last 3 years on WWE TV, things that we've talked about on this very show. What has been... You know, you weren't the most regular WWE viewer. It wasn't appointment television for you. You were a noted NWA guy, WCW. Mm-hmm. You left wrestling for a little bit as far as watching it regularly.
I always kept up. It wasn't appointment TV.
I always kept up with what was going on with like other promotions worldwide, but I wouldn't have to watch them. Like there was a time where I kept up with Ring of Honor, but I wasn't, you know, watching it every week. There was a time, just a few years ago where, you know, New Japan was starting to get big and I kept up with it, but I never saw it, you know. You can keep up with WWE really easy and still not watch it. Maybe you watch the YouTube clips. Maybe you watch the shortened versions on a Hulu service every once in a while. Maybe you just watch the pay-per-views. But what has it been like for you now having to watch the TV pretty much every single week, both shows every single week? Has it been that much of a change for you? Have there been pros? Have there been cons? What has been the last 3 years for Jeff Hawkins?
It's harder now because I have the second show that I do. I have to do it more timely. I can't do it at my own pace. Like I could probably get away with watching a Raw tomorrow if we were still on our normal schedule, so to speak. We kind of do this on a Wednesday or Thursday, depending. I could watch them at my own leisure. 205 and NXT have kind of gone to the wayside a bit in terms of appointment viewing for me, in that it has to be a really good show for me to go out of my way to watch it sometimes, because I've also picked up Talking Smack on the regular, which I really like. It's different. I wouldn't say it's less enjoyable. It's just I have to do it more live or it doesn't get done. That's the real change for me. In terms of that, I've enjoyed revisiting a lot of the top 100 and then taking what I learned from that and also what I learned from watching the current product and kind of melding the two in terms of things I've missed, things I've didn't pick up the first time around when I was just a fan instead of watching it critically. But, you know, it's weird because the WWF / WWE hasn't changed that much in about in a long, long time, even since the Attitude Era. The work is kind of the same.
Well,
they've really,
as noted on Twitter, it's become WCW. You got Chris Jericho all over the show with the show's 3 hours. You got Goldberg as the world champion, and you get the announce desk at the stage. I mean, this is WCW Nitro.
Well, it's not just that, but it was something like that came up today as we were watching. I thought it was a very good American Alpha Usos match on there. And the crowd was kind of just sitting on their hands, waiting for something to happen. And meanwhile, the camera was in the backstage, kind of in the first hour of Nitro style, watching the NWO limo come in. But instead, it's focused on Shane and what's Shane going to do. It's really... They've lost a little bit in storytelling to make up for it in style. That's what I'd say. They have a very stylized product, and the audience is caught up to how stylized it has become in that they're waiting for the finish. They're waiting for the setup. They're waiting for, you know, the signature moves that they can do. They're waiting to do the chant. They're waiting to sing along with the hits, so to speak. So I find that problematic in some ways, and it's not just been over the last 3 years, but it's something I've noticed from show to show to show. Part of the reason why the magic has gone in 205 is it became a stylized WWE show as opposed to what made the Cruiserweight Classic really special. So it's interesting to see what happens after Mania. There's usually a nice boost in product, and then it kind of settles back into its groove, so to speak.
I do agree, though, that it's a lot easier to watch it live and just kind of absorb it as it happens than trying to catch it up later. Because I find myself, if I don't watch the show live, I just want to go watch the YouTube clips, or I just want to go watch the shortened version, or even read about what happened and then select what I want to go seek out to actually view. If I'm going to get all the details, I got to watch it live, or else I'm not going to get all the details.
Well, that's what I'd prefer. I'd prefer to go back and just watch the things that people would tell me are good.
Yeah, but then it doesn't make doing this easy, though.
No, that's the problem. And
you can't speak with any type of authority, because believe me, I've gas-bagged my way through episodes of this show where I didn't watch the whole show and you would catch me.
Yes.
Because I would do my best. I would watch something, but I would not watch like what set it up. And not always on purpose, sometimes by accident. Like I missed something. I'm not trying to say I fake my way through it on purpose by any means, but you can't catch everything if you don't watch the full 3 hours of Raw. And watching the full 3 hours of Raw is not the easiest job in the world.
No, it's not.
It is not the hardest either. So as not to complain too heavily.
Last thing I need is less more complaining. Oh, someone else is complaining about the 3 hours again. No, we're not.
Did you know that Raw probably should move to 2 hours, Jeff?
You know what? You should bring that to the table.
Oh, God.
That show frustrated me, and it was like half truth to power and half utter corporate spin.
But it is what it
is. And to the point, and I agree it is what it is, but the moment that made me the angriest is they've now scripted the banter that goes on commercial breaks for PTI and Around the Horn. They scripted that into bring it to the table.
Yeah.
Amongst the anchors, I just went, really? You have to do that, dude?
JBL,
you have to put that spin on it?
JBL staring bullets through Rosenberg, though, was some pretty good television. I do like me some JBL. I'm a big fan of JBL, if you haven't noticed. What would you say has been your favorite thing to cover on this show for WWE the last couple of years? Like, what may have happened? What's the storyline that happened that was you were like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this on Shake Them Ropes. Can't wait to interact with the people on Twitter about this. What was the biggest thing?
I think it's pretty obvious the NXT takeovers the past 3 years have just been spectacular for the most part, up until maybe present day where they've just been very good. But I mean, I remember we'd always be excited for that NXT. We'd always just be blown away by something they did on it. we'd be really excited because they were building up like the Horsewomen, which kept me into NXT quite a bit. Or, you know, your Zane Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls, or the 4-way, or, you know, that whole NXT run from our early point up until maybe right after WrestleMania last year was really something special for me. That's what in addition to the top 100, naturally, because I could draw on my historical experience, that NXT run those past 2.5 years, that was really some great, great stuff.
I would agree, too. It was one of my favorite things to do were those NXT post shows, but it was easier to do them when NXT takeovers were on Wednesdays. I like the idea of NXT takeovers being on Wednesdays, being at Full Sail, although Full Sail, it doesn't matter where it really is. Like, they could do these road takeovers, but they're not going to do them on Wednesdays. It was being on Wednesday that made them special to me. Like, it feels like it's a bigger than regular episode of TV. Like, it's this midweek event. I don't have to wait for the weekend for it. I really liked NXT takeovers being on Wednesdays. It made our job a lot easier, being able to do our show on a somewhat regular time and still having the live event coverage, because it's nearly impossible for us to do these things on Saturday. Not so much for you. I know you're always willing to do these shows, and I appreciate that, but it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to do the multiple weekend shows when you have a takeover and a pay-per-view, and it's a lot of wrestling in a 2-day span that's supposed to mean something.
Yeah, the problem is the genie's out of the bottle after Takeover Brooklyn, the first one.
I just don't see it now when you have Takeover Brooklyns, you have takeovers now at Survivor Series weekend. They're going to find a pay-per-view here in late spring, early summer, to where they can tie it in with a pay-per-view. We may get one takeover at Full Sail a year, and pretty soon we're not going to get any. We're not going to have any takeovers at Full Sail. We're not going to have these Wednesday shows. They're all going to be on the weekends on a Saturday. And even the Hall of Fame this year was moved to Friday, so TakeOver could be on a Saturday. That to me is one of the bigger stories. Not so much a big story, but one of the things, like, because of what our show is, we follow more closely. The transition of TakeOvers from being a developmental special on a Wednesday to a third brand's pay-per-view on a Saturday has been something to behold over the last 2 years.
That first special that I went to in Sacramento, that was outside of the Full Sail realm, and watching that crowd, the Dallas one is going to be hard to top for NXT. But the Sacramento crowd, who were, you know, it was kind of a 50,
what crowd?
50, the Sacramento crowd.
San Antonio?
No. The San Jose... San Jose.
Oh, okay. The one that didn't air. The one on WrestleMania weekend the year before that didn't air on TV. Gotcha.
The one where they were doing the test, kind of.
And it was quite the successful test.
And then they later showed the Charlotte-Sasha match, and I think they showed the Owen-Sami Zayn interaction.
They showed the finish. They showed NXT. It was the first time Hideo Itami actually hit the GTS in NXT 2 on a major show. So they definitely showed clips of that one. I don't know. I don't believe they showed Charlotte and Sasha Banks. I believe that one made its way onto YouTube, so people saw it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, NXT had been building up until then. They had the takeover specials. They were okay. So it was kind of a weird mix of the hardcores who knew what was going on with NXT and the naturally curious who were in town for WrestleMania weekend and wondering what this NXT brand was about. And they got themselves a show, and it was kind of at that moment where I was watching just this crowd that wasn't, for lack of a better term, cynically jaded by wrestling in many ways, that were excited about a Vince McMahon-produced product that was really, really optimistic for me. And I kept that wave throughout takeover after takeover after takeover. And look, even this last one, while it wasn't water cooler talk of the weekend, was still very, very good. I mean, the Mickie James Asuka match, things like that. I mean, I just this whole NXT thing that past 2.5 years, that's been really, really something that I've looked forward to talking. It's like we'd be talking a bad Raw or a bad SmackDown. I'd say, let's talk about NXT.
Right.
Because I'm loving this build to Bayley and Sasha, or I'm loving this four-way, or I'm loving this Becky Lynch Sasha program, or I'm loving the tag team division. I'm loving the Dusty tag. You know, those types of things would really keep me engaged when Vince McMahon, for lack of a better term, in his creative was just kind of painting by numbers.
And I really like that Wednesday block of NXT TV and then Breaking Ground. It was like ECW and Roller Jam all over again. I love those blocks. I was a really big fan of that. But yeah, so we'll see what happens in the next 200 episodes. Next 3 years of WWE TV, a lot's bound to happen. I mean, hell, AJ Styles showed up. We didn't expect that to happen. What's going to be the road for Braun Strowman? Who are the next NXT, you know, big stars to jump up to WWE and make hay? A lot of different things going to happen in the next 3 years. It can't be any crazier, can it?
All I know is that people keep asking me how come I don't sing anymore and how we haven't done Shake Them Ropes Theater in a long time. So they want me to bring back those old bits, but it's just like one of those things where it's like I need to be in a certain mood to do it.
Yes. We need to be not a Tuesday night at midnight. Not yet. Well, then we just got to record. We're going to have to record the shows at a different time. Maybe that'll be the next 2 years.
You know what's funny is I've gotten to the point where I've sang all these divas or women's theme songs and I've forgotten I've done it from time to time. Like someone goes, what are you going to do, Nia Jax? I go, I know I've done Nia Jax
you
at
have.
Some point.
Yes, you yeah. did. You sure did, sir. But that is all for this, the 200th episode of Shake Them Ropes. Lacking kayfabe, by the way, this probably isn't even the 200th episode because I know I've miscounted somewhere along the line, but hey, we're going with it. The 200th episode of Shake Them Ropes. Want to thank everyone for listening. Hope you continue to do so as we go through the road to WrestleMania and talk about all the crazy things we're about to see at the beginning of April in Orlando. We will keep you posted at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter for what we're going to do with next week's episode because I will be out of town the week after Jeff is out of town as he's going to the WrestleMania events. So a hectic schedule. We are going to try to do shows. I'm even going to try to do more content than usual. So please, if you haven't already, go subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Go leave us a rating and review. We really would appreciate it. We will read them and check them out. We will retweet you and we will talk about them on the show. For the new listeners, hope you stick with us. Subscribe and keep following along as we head to 200 more episodes. For Jeff Hawkins, I'm Rob McCarron. Follow us at Shake Them Ropes. We will see you next time on Shake Them Ropes.
Hey, guys.